Good evening, everybody. Good evening, good evening. I hope you all had a very nice and relaxing break. Probably one of the most controversial topics, though, however, is tonight's share, which is a really highly debated issue, which is going to be tonight's share, which is actually the most touching on it, and the Shulchan Aruch in Siv Yud Aleph, a highly debated issue, which is about the purchase of shuls of a tefillah. So, and we can all name a few of them. A tefillah is a church. If something was a tefillah, and at one point they're moving out, because they're moving in, so they're moving out. So the question is, if now they want to sell the premises, and shuls are always, there's always a huge need, as an edge right now, and in plenty of other places as well, but there's always a need to purchase more premises. There's only limited amount of places we can actually serve as a shul. And there are, in a way or another, from the size and often from the location, it's often perfect to buy those ex-tiflis, which are for sale. So the question is, can a tiflis be purchased and be recycled, is that the right word, into a shul? Is that permissible or not? And it's a very, very hot topic. And it's not posh at all. We'll see what the Mishnah Berurah paskens about that. There's a bialocha, fascinating Moshe, and a very interesting psak of the Mishnah Berurah, which we're going to be seeing shortly. So we'll see that in Sif Yud Aleph in Mitzvah Hashem. Let's get there. Okay, so we're up to Simon Kuf Nun Dalet. And we're up top of the page with Sif Tes. And that is page Mem Gimel in the Dishu editions. Now, I did catch up over the holiday, we did catch up, so we're up to date. However, due to various simchas last week, I wasn't able to give shir Wednesday, Thursday, so we fell a little drop behind, but we are more or less on the right track. Okay, so Seif Tes, Shulchan Aruch, HaMisnadvim Sefer Torah, people who are Menadev Sefer Torah, people donate Sefer Torah, Umanichem Itpoches Beveis HaKnesses. Now, we don't appreciate that nowadays, but in previous generations, besides the actual cost of a Sefer Torah, the mantle was also very expensive. It may have cost, I don't know, in the figure, but it was a substantial expense as well. The mitpoches, the mantle, the mantlech, as I called in Yiddish, around the Sefer Torah, they were very expensive. So the person who donated the Sefer Torah, not only did he donated the Sefer Torah, there was also another expense, which was the mantle around the Sefer Torah. Now, a person wants to know, the Shaila that is discussed in the Shulchan Aruch is, if a person donates a Sefer Torah with a mantle around it, and for some reason or another now, there's another Sefer Torah which needs a mantle, can you use that mantle, which was donated for a specific Sefer Torah, can you use that mantle for another Sefer Torah? Can you do that? Yes or no? So the Shulchan Aruch says the following, it depends. If the mantle is donated together with Sefer Torah and it's placed, it's located in shul, then muter leishtamesh ben kol sefer v'sefer. You can use it for any Sefer Torah, it's not a problem at all. You can use it for any Sefer Torah. The person who donated it would have no problem at all. It belongs to the shul now, and the shul can decide to which Sefer Torah they go as they wish. They can use it for other Sefer Torah, no problem at all. Sheledas kulon hukdushu. It was donated, ledas kulon, for the intention of using all, of the use of all Sefer Torah. The Mishnah Berurah adds to that, in Sefkot Lamed Ches, for kol shekem mitpochois, certainly the mantle, shagizborim koinim oisam, that the gaboim purchased them, letzorkei hasforim shebeis haknesses. If it's something which the gaboim buy and acquire, then bevada eledas kenis kachu. If the gaboim buy the mantle and they pay for it from shul money, then certainly you can use it for anything. That's not a problem at all. Lechatchile shemuta shelita sefer. Certainly it can be used for any sefer. If the gaboim buy it, of course there's no issue whatsoever. But even if it's bought, if it's donated by a donor who had in mind his own Sefer Torah, but nevertheless, he had in the back of his mind that could be it's going to be used for another Sefer Torah, and that's fine. However, if initially it was kept in their houses, the person who gave the child, who donated it, initially he kept the mantle in his house. He kept it there. It was his wish to keep in his house. Ve'achkach makdish, and only later on, at the later stage, he was makdish it, and he brought it to shul. Then, kevin she'al das oisei sefer nase, finishtamish bo oisei sefer, since it was donated, very clearly, he was only donated at the later point to shul, and there is a certain understanding that it was specifically for that Sefer Torah, and you can see that because he kept the mantle for a long time, he kept it in his house. So that obviously shows that he didn't really want to share with other Sefer Torah. And so even now that he has actually donated it to shul, nevertheless, we understand psychologically it's hard for him to give it away, and he only wants to keep it for that specific Sefer Torah. Also, l'anicha b'sefer Torah acher, you may not use it for another Sefer Torah. That's the psak of the first opinion in Shulchan Aruch. However, the second opinion says, V'ish matirim, however, others are matirim. Others allow it and say, even though he donated at a later stage, nevertheless, you can swap and change. You can use it for other mantle. V'chonoi agin achshav, says the Ramot, that is the custom, that even if it's donated later, you can still change the mantle to other Sefer Torah. Why is that? Mishum leiv beizdin, masne aleim lino ikach. And the reason is leiv masne, and that's what the Mishneh Berurah explains. Sifkot Memem Malif explains, Mishneh Berurah explains as follows, V'yesh matirim, some allow it, that yes, you can transfer to another Sefer Torah, kaven, since sha'al kol ponim eino merido mikdushoso, you're not lowering it, it's kdusha, if you'd use it now for a, if you use the mantle now for a non-kdusha purpose, can you think of an example? You'd be more the kdusha, you'd use it for, that's right, for a curtain, for the window curtain or something like that, then of course you wouldn't be able to. But Lamais, what are you using it for? Using it for just an equal level of Kedusha. Using it for another Sefer Torah. Therefore, it's fine. Why is that? Sifkot Mem Aleph explains, Mishum Leiv based in Masne, Roy Tzoloima, Af Al Gavde Mitzad Adin, Roy Lifsoi Kader Rishoyna. Although really there is an underlying point in the, and one could really pass like the first opinion, that it's also, she does rov ha-poiskim, the majority of the poiskim hold, you can't use it for another Sefer Torah, tishunim mikdusha lekdusha, sheshavela also, that we learned early in the earliest eve, one of the holiday recordings indeed, was that shunim mikdusha lekdusha is actually not permitted. If you have something, you can't actually transfer something from one kdusha to another kdusha of an equal level. Chetchili shouldn't be doing that. Mikon mokum nevertheless, hochem mutter mishum leiv based in masne aleim. Over here there is a leiv based in masne aleim. If somebody donates it, he does it with the understanding of Beis Din. And Beis Din understands that it's not specific. One Sefer Torah, it's going to be for several Sefer Torah, and therefore, to the minigis, to be matter, and to allow person donates even later on the mantle, he can use it, the shul can decide to use it for other Sefer Torah as well. We move on to Sif Yud. Hanagim l'aniach atois Sefer Torah b'roi shakoyre. Interesting minig. Have you ever seen such a minig? Hanagim l'aniach atois, the crown. The Kesa, the crown of the Sefer Torah. So the minig was, Hanoegim Yanich Atoros, the crown Sefer Torah of the Sefer Torah. Berosh HaKoyre B'Siyum HaTorah. Simchas Torah. It's getting close already. We can start thinking about Simchas Torah already a little bit. Simchas Torah is the Chosn Torah and Chosn Bereshis. So the Rosh, the one who lines Siyum HaTorah, which we normally call Chosn Torah, to put on him the crown, he's the Chosn Torah, to put him the crown of the Sefer Torah. Fancy that? Oh, very good. So he says, this is exactly the point that Shulchan Aruch is addressing. Can you do that? Can you take the crown, and nowadays they're tailor-made, they're bespoke, so it's hard to imagine putting them on. But in previous generations, and I've seen those, they were quite shaky, so you could actually, they're not that far away from a virtual crown. So take that and put another crown, the Chosn Torah. I'm sure a lot more people will request to be the Chosn Torah under these circumstances. And you put it on the head of the, can you do that or not? And of course the underlying shaila is, hold on a sec, this is really Tashmishe Kedusha. This crown over here, this Keser, is a Tashmishe Kedusha. It's an item which serves the purpose of the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah. Can I use it and put it on the head of a non-Sefer Torah? Can I put it on a head of a human? Can I even, or maybe I'm therefore degrading the Kedusha of that item. Can you do it or not? And it's a minik. Shulchan Aruch says, Hanoyagin la'aniach atorois, the ones of the custom of putting those crowns of the Sefer Torah, Beroish on the head, Hakoyre b'siyum ha-Torah of the Chosn Torah, Ein moichem bi'odom. You don't have to protest. You can leave them. Leave it. Let them put their crowns on their heads. But if it's not just about the Chosn Torah, it's about any general Chosn. Under the Chuppah, Don't wait before the chuppah, after the chuppah. Imagine that. You take the Sefer Torah out, take out the keset, and you put it on the chasen. Sounds like an interesting minik. So that, says the Shulchan Aruch, ha-menichim oysan b'rosh chasonim da'alma, if you're placing it on the head of a normal chasen, moichim b'yodim, then you have to protest. So what's the difference between the chasen, the average chasen, the random chasen, and the chasen Torah? What's the difference? Why is that you can leave them, and that you can't leave them? Why is that? What's the difference? Okay, so let's just finish. Yeah. Okay, it's here.
Which is that presumably an adult male yid who learns Torah is on a higher level of kedusha than a safe Torah.
Right.
If you're going to save one, you'd save the human being. So the question is, how do you put it back on the safe Torah afterwards? Because that would be a human.
Okay, so the answer is that it's you're right in a shkafa level. You're 100% right that the fact that we have integral kedusha within us, 100% correct. But with regards to these halachas that we're learning over here of tashmisha kedusha, it works slightly different. It's about certain items which have intrinsic kedusha in them, a certain kedusha in them which is because of the item they are. It's not referring to the kedusha, you're referring about the nefesh chaim and the sforim, the sifrei musa. Yeah. Yes, but it's not the same kedusha. The Oisbis Kodesh is not going to be it hasn't got the level of Tashmisha kedusha. It's something which we attain as Yidden. We have a certain kedusha, and that's not within the category without discussion of Tashmisha kedusha. It's a different discussion. And pardon? Correct. You won't fall, yeah. But it's interesting because the Gemara does speak about that it's how tipshim are the people who stand up in front of a Sefer Torah, but they don't stand in front of a Talmud Chacham. The Gemara says, Mamash, your point, Gemara Kedushin, how come a tipshim an inch that stand up in front of a Sefer Torah, but they don't stand up in front of a Talmud Chacham? So you're addressing that point of Gemara, but with regards to this specific discussion over here of Tashmisha Kedusha, it's something which addresses specifically items which have intrinsic Kedusha within them. Does that make sense? Yeah.
I'm asking a technical point on at one level or another, a human being has to have a certain intrinsic level of kedusha because they do.
Yeah.
The question is, are they higher or lower than the Sefer Torah? If they're higher, then you can't put the crown back on the Sefer Torah, and if they're lower, then you can't put it on the human being's head.
Right. So the shaila over here is that you surely they are, it's not on the same level of a Sefer Torah per se, and therefore. There's, how can you put it? The question over here is how can you put it on a how can you put it on a chosn? How can you put it on a chosn? How can you? So on a chosn the alma we protest, we moichim biyadam, but on a chosn bereshis we put it on. How can that be? And the Mishnah explains as follows: in Sifkot Mem Beis, ein moichim biyadam shani oima leiv beis in masna alze b'mokum shenagu kein. It's a leiv beis in masna lem, and the minig is okay. Kemen shemishtamshem lechvoid ha-toyra. Since a chosn bereshis, the reason why it's placed on the head is for the honor of the Torah, for the covet and respect of the Torah, therefore it's okay. So in a general chosn, an average chosn, just under the chuppah, take that crown away, he has to find another head covering. But with regards to chosn Torah, you can keep the crown on them, that's acceptable. Aval b'roshi chasonim de'alme, she'en od amasne ba'torah shin tashmish ikdusha, lechvoit sefer Torah shin mishtamish ben hedit lechvoit atzmoy. So he said it's not right to do that, and you can't put a crown of a sefer Torah onto a chosn de'alme. See if you'd aleph. Ne'oi shel shayla. Now we're approaching the shayla of of the shuls. Okay, so let's have clarity in the sieve. Neiroi shel shava, here again we need to remember a point that has been discussed many times previously, that candles out of wax nowadays don't cost a lot of money, but historically, wax was hugely expensive. Wax was a very, very, was a huge expense. And whilst nowadays we don't appreciate that so much, but in previous generations, wax was an expense, and shuls need to have a lot of wax, because you need to keep on the lines, you need to keep the shul lit. So the Shulchan Aruch says the following shaila. Neir shul shav was a common shaila. The candles shenasonom agoyim lavoid ezelilim. Now the Shulchan Aruch is very much aware that not only shuls use wax, but also tiflis, they also use a lot of wax. They use a lot of candles. Now you've got a problem over here because very often in the market, there was a white market, and there was a black market. There was a market of used wax, used candles, which were used in the tiflis, they were used in the churches. And those candles now, there was a market for them. Who wants to buy those? They were used, but not completely finished, so there was still quite a lot of wax on there. They were now, they can be, can you buy them now for a shul? to keep a shul lit. Can you do that or not? So, of course, if it's to keep your house lit, it's another shaila. We'll see. That's probably okay. But you're talking about using those lights now that was used yesterday in a tifla. You want to take that and light it in a shul. Can you do that? Yes or no? And we all appreciate the shaila of here. What's the underlying shaila? What's the problem with it?
Oh,
beautiful. Very good. Mrs. Akil says, well, it depends a little bit. Let's talk Lomdish. What was the candle used for? Was it used for just lighting purpose, to have the tifla lit, or was it part of their service? Good question. Okay, if it's for that, so what are you saying? So if it's just stam, then the chayr should be okay. But if it's not, if it was used for a service, then it's a big problem. What's the problem? That it's... Yeah, very. It's exactly that, Shaila. It's exactly that. It's mamash that. Yeah, what are you, Taina? Can you use it or not?
Even if it's just lighting the tifla, it's also not lighting the tifla so people can play chess.
Yeah.
Good,
that's mamash to be alocha. Very good. Okay, so says the Shulchan Aruch, Neir Shul Chai V'Shon Son of Ma'agoyim La'Avod Yisrilim, if it was used for tifla, v'kibon shamoshon, and the shamash, the gab over there in the tifla, he switched the light off, as it were, for the sonom, and they are now given away. Oy mechon, they were sold. Leisol. Now there's still some wax there. You can now use it in a shul. Also, ladlikon beveis haknesses, you may not use it in a shul. You may not use it in a shul. Also, ladlikon beveis haknesses. Afal pishim utorim lehediot, but for an average person, if you only light your dining room with it, that's acceptable. Let's stop over here for a moment, because the rest is another shaila. So now here, we're going to go right into the shaila, Rabbi Yisai. The Mishnah is going to address now that very shaila, and it's really not far from the shaitel shaila. It's not far at all. The shaila of items which were used for Avodah Zarah purpose. Items which are used for Avodah Zarah purpose, can you use them for Kedusha? So now, we can now address the shaila of a shul. So you've got a tifla. A tifla was... Well, tell me what you think. A tifla was, is it, how different is a tifla? Shulchan Aruch paskens, that you can't use a wax which was used for tifla. So, what about the actual place? What about the premises? Can you use the premises now for shul or not? Kal v'chomer you can't. Rabbi Kagan says, Kal v'chomer. What's the Kal v'chomer? Infrared wax, which? Yeah, which is indirect, is that what you're saying? Yeah. Indirect. So Kal v'chomer, the actual premises, which is more intrinsic, shouldn't be able to use. Got a problem there.
Doesn't it depend if we've got a church today as an Avodah
Zarah? Oh, very good. So very, very interesting, Shaila. That's going back right into Yeridah, Shaila, which is that it's not so poshut. Very, very good point. It's not poshut. How do you define exactly? Well, Avodah Zarah for Yid is clear what Avodah Zarah is. Mishnah Berurah points out, actually, goes a little bit in that direction, that Avodah Zarah for us is anything that is Einod Milvado. We know that anything that we believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, anything that is added to that is proper Avodah Zarah, and we would be, it's for us the crime of Gimel Averes, as it were. Right? We had Ein Oyel Milvado, we believe in one Ribbono Shel Olam, Ein Oyel Milvado, there's nothing besides Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, with regards to Goyim, the way the Christians, the way they have very limited understanding in their religion, but since it's what's called, the Poskim called Ramah speaks about it as Shittuf. They don't deny the fact that there's Ribbono Shel Olam, but they do say there's additional. There's more to it. And this is considered shittuf. Shittuf. Now, shittuf for us is considered Avodah Zarah. However, with regards to Goyim, with regards to shittuf, with regards to Goyim, may not be considered Avodah Zarah. So, whilst you're right that as far as they are concerned, he may not be considered proper Avodah Zarah. But as far as we are concerned, it certainly is considered Avodah Zarah. For us, it's Gimel Averes. Probably. It's certainly considered, yeah. So, right. So, as far as we are concerned, yeah.
What with Shava, which is proper metal, and you can certainly say that, Tashmishek.
Avodah Zarah, yeah.
karka is very different.
Oh.
You can't say, you can't be karka in the same way you can be poikim
metaltalim. Karka, since it's more static, there is less influence onto it.
They're going to say the building on top of it.
Yeah, knocking down the building, good. Okay, so this we can all appreciate is a very, very relevant shaila. We can all think of a handful of shuls. I can think of one shul in Edgware, I can think of one shul in Hendon, I can think of one shul in Manchester, who were made out of tiflis. So what can you think of any svaras? What would you say? Mevatel. Well, the question is, would bittul work over here by the national shava? Not really. Right. Good. Very good. We'll see the bialocha on that. Yeah.
I think two of the three shuls you're discussing, and they use the church shul rather than the actual church bit of the church. So they weren't really using the thing that was used for worship. They were using the thing which was used for social functions.
Okay. So you're saying that it depends which hall actually using. That's very interesting, and that's also a point that Avosnago speaks about in great detail about, which is very interesting as well. That is actually the actual place where they worshipped, or is it just an additional hall? Okay, very good. So let's see what the Mishnah Berurah says about this. Let's see what Mishnah Berurah says about all this. Mishnah Berurah says, Cotton Mem Gimel explains a bit. Okay. Sifkot Mem Dalet Kibon Shamshon. Kibon Shamshon. Kloima. The Oz Mutar Lehedit. Once the Goy, if the light is still lit by the Goy, even a Hedit wouldn't be able to use it. Kmoshe Kosaba Gob. Then it's Patel Mehem Shem Noi Akumala de Kibuyon. Afiloch Yasun Gavoy Mishum the Mois. So the word Mois is really important because that's really, Mois means it's disgust. It's disgusting. That's really the point. That something which has been used, because I heard once a svara, somebody said, well, it was somebody once said, well, surely something which was used for another religion and now it's being used by the Yidden, so you're sanctifying it. You're sanctifying it. It becomes now more kedusha. It becomes more holy. So this is, it's a svara. I hear the svara, but we just have to appreciate that's not true. It's not a true svara because the point is that something is mos. Something is mos. If something is used for avodah zarah, it becomes mos. It's not pshat you're now sanctifying it and using it for Yiddish purpose. Mos means it's an abomination. Can something be better? It's disgusting. Yeah, it's mos. So that's really the problem. It's an underlying issue that something is mos. It's mos. Don't just use something which was an avodah zarah yesterday and use it for halakha purpose. So v'huadin shava noitiv menero is same. But also similarly, if you've got it's like dripping a bit of wax and you want to use that now. Again, it's also mos. Don't use something which was used for their worship and use it now for us. It's mos. And it's really mamash. It's mamash the shayla as well. Okay. V'imlo yhudluku adain me'olam. If it was never used beforehand, what's going to be the halacha? If they had it in stock but they never used it, what would be the halacha? It's going to be fine. Agreed? Yeah? Ve'im lo yhudluku adayin me'olam, if it was never used, it was never lit, u'mechoron shamoshon le'yisoel, and the shamash, their gabba sold it for the Yidden, muta af le'gavoy, it's going to permit it even for shul purpose, to lo'ychad alayhi shem noy akum me'olam, it's not chal, it hasn't got a name of akum, because hazman elav milzer, and it's not really considered something which is intrinsically bizoin and mos. So, right, and then Sivkot Nem Heses, Bevez HaKnesses, V'adin l'chol ha'adlokah shal mitzah, so, k'gun ha'adlokah z'ne'er Shabbos, v'chanukah, o'ilil mo'id lifneim, also. So what about if you're, okay, so we can't use it for a shul. Okay, granted, I'm not going to use it for shul. Now, but I want to use it for my adlokah, for Shabbos candles. Well, I want to use it now for Neshul Chanukah. Can you do that or not? I'm not going to use it for shul. I'm going to use it for Nadlokas Nesh Shabbos. Could you permit it or not? What would you say? Also, Mishnah Berurah says there's no difference. Whether we want to use a light for lightening the shul, or whether you want to use it for Hadlokas Nesh Shabbos, either way, it's the same problem. It's mos, don't use it. Who are then called mele the mitzvah for any mitzvah purpose? Ein oisin medovo shenasele akum. Don't use something which was used for religious worship. Don't use that for tzeich mitzvah. It's mos. Ein simon yud aleph sif yud ches sif ches simon tov kubei. Ve leinian lasos mebeis t tefillah, I think it really should be tefillah, shall akum beis haknesses. And with regards to making a tefillah into a shul, kasav hamogen avom. I think it's time to stop over here. But that discussion is what the Magen Avraham actually says about using a tifla, an ex-tifla into a shul. We'll be addressing that, Shaila, the way the Magen Avraham and the way the Mishnah Berurah Paskin to Hashem. We'll leave that for tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. The Moshe and the Bialocha, which is a very interesting topic, we'll leave that for tomorrow. I wish you a very good evening, Abayisa.